South Africans doing great things.
Her name is Pearl Pillay, Managing Director of the Youth Lab, a South African doing great things. Pearl, thank you so much for joining us and good evening to you. And by the way, congratulations on your winning of the Daily Maverick Youth Champion for 2021. Good evening to you. Are you well, Pearl?
Good evening. Thank you very much and thanks for having me. I'm good. I'm not happy that we are no longer in December, but other than that, I'm very good. Thank you.
I hear you, man. Listen, I'm one of the unlucky few that didn't get a chance to take a break over December, but I consider myself lucky in that I will take a break later on in the year, or let me say in February. So I'll watch you guys squirm and suffer as you work during that time as I take a good day's break, you know?
You know, some people are just born blessed. Look at you.
So, Managing Director of the Youth Lab. What is the Youth Lab? What do you do there?
So Youth Lab is a youth policy think tank, and basically what we do is work to both build youth capacity and mainstream youth participation. So that's a very nice fluffy kind of website answer. What it really means is that we work with young people across the country to support the kind of community work that they're already doing, but also to support their own initiatives. And so we have programs that range from citizen education programs to entrepreneurship programs. And what our work basically is to spotlight youth activism, youth development, and, you know, youth community work, is to spotlight the work that they're doing and provide support, but to also make sure that young South Africans have a voice and have a space to have their opinions heard and actually be taken seriously.
Do you think that young people are marginalized in that sense?
Absolutely. I think although we have a very active youth population, a lot of what we hear, and especially if you think about conversations we have around June 16th, but any time really that we talk about young people in South Africa, there's the sense that, oh, you know, youth are just apathetic, nobody's really interested in, you know, participating in moving the country forward. And a lot of that's been untrue in the work that we've done. And so you find in a lot of spaces when you hear the ways in which older leaders especially talk about young people, you can see that it definitely is a very marginalized group of people. We don't have, I think, adequate policy and programming that speaks to what young people need. But we also have very poor youth representation. You know, we have a very large number of young people in South Africa. But when you look at the kind of leadership structures in the country, it's not reflective of that. So definitely, yeah.
Who are the youth?
Pardon? Are you saying who are the youth?
Yeah, who are the youth?
So, I mean, you have, you know, a really technical kind of legal term for what youth is, and that as people between the ages of 15 and 35. So it's a very large block of young people. And the one thing, you know, we try and teach in the work that we do is that, you know, you can't kind of paint, you know, take one paintbrush and paint over everyone and say, this is what it means to be young in South Africa. It's a range of different experiences. But if you want to kind of just talk about age, then yeah, then it would be 15 to 35.
And I think it's an important sort of point that you make there, that the demographics within that whole sort of, the different sectors and the different groupings that exist within that demographic are vastly different, right? I mean, somebody who's 35 and somebody who's 15 are probably having vastly different experiences. And somebody may ask then, how do you as the Youth Lab provide assistance, solutions for such a huge demographic with such vastly different needs? How do you do that? How do you even conceptualize that?
I mean, that's the challenge, isn't it? So, I mean, even if you think about it outside of just comparing age in that way, even 35-year-olds across South Africa are different, right?
Indeed, so with indeed.
A 35-year-old living in a suburb is very different from one who lives in a township, for example. So what it means is that you have to be very serious and be very well informed and willing to collaborate and work with other young people, right? So one of the guiding principles at UCLAB is that young people are all experts, right? There's nobody that can tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, you laugh, except it's true, right? There's nobody that can tell a young person what it means to be young in South Africa right now.
Right.
And part of doing work that matters and work that has impact is valuing what every single young South African has to say and the experience that they bring to the table. And so it's very easy for us to create interventions for people on the younger part of the youth spectrum and people on the older part of it, because our work is entirely collaborative and allows young people to speak for themselves. And so what that means in a very practical sense is, you know, if we're building programming for, let's say, the 18 to 24 year cohort, right, it would mean actually talking to those young people and figuring out what are their experiences, how do they differ from other youth in their age groups, how do they differ from other youth in general, and using that to inform the kind of work that we do. And so it means that we're not an organization that says, oh, you know, we just know what young people need because everyone apparently knows what young people need. Our work is actually about bringing young people into the fore as well and saying, actually, you're the ones that know what's going on and what all of this is like. And you also have ideas for solutions. So let's work together.
The reason why I laughed, Bill, it wasn't really to laugh in mockery. It was laughing at what you said, that young people are experts. And I remember somebody when I was a little younger saying to me, you know what, you think you're such an expert, you know? And as you said that, it just took me back to that time. But if that's the case, Pearl, I mean, would it be true then to say that anybody at any given age is an expert of their experiences?
Yeah, I think if you're saying that everyone has value, that everyone has something to offer, and that's exactly what that means, right? We use it very deliberately in the youth sense because, I mean, that is kind of the reaction that you get from people, right? When you talk about youth, and to some extent even children, you talk about them as autonomous beings who are capable of reason, who are capable of understanding the context that they live in and thinking about ways out of it. It's never really taken quite seriously, right? We have our own ideas of what it means to be young, and we don't allow young people, especially in South Africa, to be anything more than that. So yes, I fully agree, you know, if you look at it as an everyone has something to offer value system, then everyone's an expert in something.
And in that vein, then, sometimes the opinions that various age groups, because we're talking about youth here, but various age groups and their expertise may at sometimes clash with those of the youth. Do you find that to be the case sometimes?
Absolutely. And that's where discernment comes in, right? That's why not everyone can wake up tomorrow and decide that they can be a youth worker, because in as much as you can say, you know, you value everyone's opinion and everything, everyone has something to say and should be listened to. Our job as youth experts, as youth development experts, is to be able to discern, you know, what is something that sits beyond what other people might be saying and what isn't.
Youth development experts, to develop them to do and to be and to achieve what?
Honestly, whatever they want. I think one of the guiding principles that UCLAB works on, but also if you think about big policy documents like the National Development Plan, is this idea that people should be given the resources and support that they need to live the kinds of lives that they want. And so ours is to say, well, whatever life journey young people expect for themselves and want to build for themselves, our role is to find ways to support that. And so we're not generally people who will sit and say, this is what youth development looks like. It's not necessarily about creating an end picture, but rather about thinking, what does a journey for a young person look like in order for them to achieve the kind of life that they want? So it's more journey-focused rather than destination-focused.
011-883-0702 is the number to dial. And if you're in Cape Town, the number is 021-446-0567. Pearl Pillay, a South African doing great things, managing director of the Youth Lab, recipient of the Youth Champion of the Year by the Daily Maverick. Pearl, where do you come from? Where were you raised? Where were you born? Where were you raised?
I am from Durban, actually. So I'm from a place called Paxos. That's where I was born and raised. And currently I live in Johannesburg. So I moved here in 2010 to study, and I have not left.
You have great resolve, because, you know, some people might say that if you represent such a large, or if you represent the aspirations for the development of such a large demographic, you can be accused of trying to be everything to everybody and therefore being nothing. So that would, I imagine, require a great deal of resolve and a lot of depth in terms of understanding a bigger picture. Where does that come from?
You know, I guess so, but I also think it's probably important to say that I'm definitely not a representative of young people in any way, shape, or form. I often say that I'm someone that is lucky enough to have a really great job, and my job happens to, you know, specialize in a certain group of people, but I don't claim to represent young people. No one, you know, no one voted for me to be anything that I am today. And so I wouldn't call myself a representative. But I think working in youth specifically is definitely something that requires a lot of resolve, because it's an extreme sport to be young in South Africa. And I think, I mean, I'm not an exception to any of those rules. But I think being able to put your hand up and say, you know, I'm going to do the kind of work that I'm doing. And it's not just true for me. I think it's true for everyone that works in even the NGO sector in some way, right? Is to be able to say, look, I'm going to try and dedicate my life and my work to helping other people, but also just making, I guess, the country a better place for us all to live in. Does require a lot, but I think, you know, one of the things that has helped me throughout my career thus far and generally in my life is the power of partnership, right? And so one of the things that makes this kind of work not easy but fun, I think, and feels like it's worth it, is that we're surrounded by so many great people and organizations who are as committed. And so as much as it takes resolve, there's a lot of people who resolve is required of, and we manage to find ways of working together, and I think it makes things a lot easier to do.
Give me an example of a program that the Youth Lab under your directorship has embarked on that you consider to be a flagship program that demonstrates the ethos, the philosophy of the Youth Lab?
Oh, that's a great question. If you had said two, I would have been very happy. But I'll mention my favorite one right now, because it's one that we created in response to COVID and to the pandemic and the things that young people would have to live through. So we created a program called Psychological First Aid. And what it was something born out of the experiences of young people, especially right at the beginning of lockdown, which feels like it was 20,000 years ago. If we realize that, you know, there's so many interventions around, oh, how do people get back to studying? You know, how do we create online learning? How do we get people working from home? It was all very kind of big picture, tangible things. And there wasn't a lot of work being done into actually what does this do to people's mental health? What does it mean for a young person who, outside of the pandemic, is already struggling in SA, right? And now with the added stress, I guess, of what the pandemic brought, what kind of psychosocial support do young people need? And so we created this program, which is basically free therapy. We take groups of young people, and each group gets set up with a psychologist. So we have a team of psychologists that have joined our team for this program. And they basically run through a few weeks of very basic therapy. It teaches you coping mechanisms. It gives you a space to talk to other young people who might be going through similar things. It's really just a space where young people can get support and they don't require any money to do so. And so, you know, it's not, I was going to mention a community activist project that we run, you know, and those yield very kind of tangible results. But what this program has done is allowed young people space to actually just feel and think about what it means to for the human experience of the pandemic. And it's done really well. So we've managed to run it since everything started. We've gone through now about 400 young people. And it's really been a space of lots of support. And I think it underpins what Youth Lab really is about, which is a space where young people can come and find some kind of support, you know, whether it's psychosocial, whether it's support for a small business you're trying to run. It's really an organization that believes in youth and wants to support them and have them living their best.
One of the challenges that we face in South Africa is the fact that we can get quite binary in the way that we talk about things, the way that we analyze reality, and the way that we arrive at conclusions. And I don't know whether what's the reason for that. I don't know whether is it because we don't like to deal with complexity, we don't like to deal with nuance, we don't like to deal with issues of intersectionality of issues and people and lives and so forth. But the moment I hear that Pearl Pillay is the managing director of the Youth Lab, who are interested and focused on dealing with the development of young people, my mind immediately goes to old people and to question the idea that says, to what extent is the Youth Lab's work cognizant of the challenges experienced by older people? In other words, people that are in the category of what people call geriatric, right? I had a call. My first call this evening was from an elderly lady who was correctly complaining about the stipend or the pension that they receive, and was saying, how does anyone expect anybody to live off of this amount of money when we've contributed so much to the development of this country? And I found myself resonating with her cry, right? To what extent does the work that Pearl Pillay do in the Youth Lab recognize the challenges of the elderly? And where is the cooperation in purpose in as far as that is concerned?
You know, I really want to sound very nice about this, but I share the challenges, I see them. We can't ignore the way all of our socioeconomic issues affect everyone, but that's not my job. At Youth Lab, our focus is on youth, and that's where it starts and ends. And it's not to say that we don't, do work with kind of older generations. And I mean, not even older generations, just, you know, older adults. We do, and there's a lot of kind of knowledge sharing and, you know, kind of partnership building in the work that we do. But our focus has and always will be young people. I'm sure there are fantastic organizations out there that deal, with issues around the elderly and so on. We're just not one of those.
Do you not think that at least even in your in your conceptualization of programs that there should at least be some thought towards that?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, going back to what you were saying earlier about trying to be everything to everyone, you know, I think it's important, especially as an organization, you know. So a thing that, you know, I didn't mention about UCAB is that we're not a funded organization. And so all of the programs that we do, you know, are through partnerships, through other consulting work that we do to generate some kind of revenue. And so we just don't have the kind of resources, firstly, to extend our work beyond what we currently do. But also, I think it's important for people to have focus, you know. I mean, I sympathize a lot with issues around transport, for example, but I'm not going to be the one that's going to be able to solve youth and transport and housing and safety and you know, for babies and older people and everybody, right? It's just not realistic. And I don't think that that's our role as citizens or as organizations, you know, as people generally who put their hands up to do something. I think it's perfectly okay to say we have a specialty, we have a focus, and this is where we're channeling our resources. And if people feel strongly enough about other issues, then go ahead and do something about it. But I'm not going to be the one to try and be everything to everybody.
Pearl Belay, Managing Director of the Youth Lab, folks. Give us a call, 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. The political game in South Africa is at a very interesting place. The political game very often purports to be interested in social, economic issues, trying to better the lives of citizens. But generally speaking, I'm getting a sense that there is a growing disconnect. There's a growing distrust of party politics. Let me be more specific. You'll never get away from the politics of anything. But party politics are beginning to, in my opinion, and you can correct me if I'm wrong there, beginning to feel as though they are losing traction in terms of being trusted by the citizenry. What's your thought about that?
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. You know, we've seen as we look through participation in elections alone, right? I think it's important to say that support for political parties is definitely not dead. You know, we still have a very active kind of party membership cohort, if we can call it that. But increasingly, people are starting to think about, you know, firstly, what is the role of political parties in society, right? Do they serve any function beyond contesting elections? What does leadership mean? I think being able to, you know, South Africa kind of moves in a constant state of one crisis to the next. And one of the things people always talk about is things like, you know, a crisis of leadership and a crisis of direction. And political parties are obviously the easiest thing to point at. So definitely people are looking for political alternatives. I think especially younger people, this is through some of the work that we've done around elections in particular, this idea that we can't keep invoking our history as a way to like lure people into, you know, accepting the political culture as it stands. You know, young people are demanding more, rightfully so. And so until we can find what that is, I think we're going to see growing disinterest in party politics as we have been seeing already.
Having said that, I'm also getting the sense that the NGO civil society sort of sector is beginning to fill that gap. In other words, NGOs, civil society movements are beginning to be a little more relevant in terms of providing solutions for some of our social problems that are usually articulated by the political sort of entities and formations. What again, do you agree with that?
I don't know if I agree, because I don't know that we have a broad enough spectrum of NGOs that kind of fit that description, right? So I know when we talk about, when this conversation happens specifically, people are usually talking about organizations like the Gift of the Givers, right? And I think it's they're doing a sterling job, and a lot of the time it is amazing to see what they can do in spaces, and you know, and government teams do not be able to do it. But I think the NGO sector also has a lot of difficulty. And on the other side, you know, civil society and civic organizations have always played a very big role in shaping communities. People always have had community formations that have actually gotten down to do the nitty-gritty work of community building. And so I don't think that's a new thing. But I think it's very easy for us to get swept up by kind of the need for a savior, right? And so often when we talk about, you know, organizations or companies or whatever that are doing well, we're generally tending to look for a hero in the whole conversation. And I don't know that that's helpful, because I think everyone works together to make their own contributions, right? And the NGO space absolutely is doing a lot of great work. But it also comes with its own set of challenges, very big challenges. And so I don't think it's filling the gaps. I think it has always existed to point out where the gaps are, and where there may be resource to fill them, they do. But I think it's important to kind of stress how under-resourced the NGO sector is. And so even if they do exist to fill the gaps, like you mentioned, I don't think they have the requisite support to be able to say that in a tangible way, right? I think we have a few NGOs who have a lot of money and a lot of reach, but I don't think that's true for everybody. So
Why is that, Pearl? Why is it that the NGO space seems not to be as well resourced as the political party space? So, for example, you'll have what you've spoken of the Gift of the Givers. I was thinking more of, you know, the Right to Know campaign, the you know, organizations like AfriForum, yourselves, that have very clear constituencies that they serve, but are not necessarily party political, right? Why is it that an AfriForum or a Gift of the Givers is able to mobilize resources, and perhaps a youth lab can't mobilize the same kind of result? Why is that? Well, is it a matter of the articulation of the service that they're providing? Why? Why is that? And relative to political parties?
Ooh, so I think firstly, just, I know it was by way of example, but I'm going to exclude AfriForum from my input, because AfriForum is a terrorist organization. So I'm not willing to put them in the same category as people like Youth Lab or people like Gift of the Givers. But I think that people have always been more interested in things like politics, because that's where you get actual power, right? And people are willing to put money and resources behind things that can get them power. Whereas I don't think NGOs really operate that way. But we also have, if you think about the culture of NGOs and the civic space in general, you have big NGOs that get kind of funding from international funding partners. That presents its own set of issues, because it's a very paternalistic system, right, that treats NGOs as if they don't actually know what they're doing. And there's an air of mistrust, but also a lot of corruption, a lot of racism, a lot of the same kind of issues that you might find in the private sector, for example, replicate themselves in the NGO space, right? So for bigger organizations, those are the kinds of issues that you find. And then you get smaller organizations, ones that are community-based, ones that might be issue-focused, and they don't have the kind of, I would call it PR, to be able to attract funding, right? So part of Youth Lab's model is whenever we go into a community, we work with organizations and activists that are already established in that community. It's a way of not only gaining some trust and credibility, but it's also about understanding that even we might have better access than people who actually do the groundwork every day themselves. It means a lot of trust. It means a lot of very intentional work about building partnerships and sometimes building capacity whilst you're trying to do work. But what it means is that the people that are actually doing the work get to have some access to resources. And that's not always possible. And then you have organizations that kind of sit in the middle of all of this, where you may have some access to big funding, but those come with their own terms and conditions. Or you kind of rely on donations. Like, there isn't actual financial support that's given to the NGO sector, right? And so you run into all of these difficulties around sustainability, around impact, because you can only do what you can do with what you have. But it's not a space where you can emerge as the president of the country, right? It's not interesting enough that way. It's a bunch of people who are saying, I just want to make communities better. And that's only if we're talking about sort of the more altruistic people. But I think, yeah, the absence of power, the absence of perhaps even recognition, right? You were saying in your introduction, this idea that people do a lot of this work in the shadows, and some people may never know the kind of work that you did, right? And so it's not a space where you can come in and really shine as an individual. And people ultimately are interested in their own individual kind of aspirations. And that's why politics will always win. That was very long-winded. I'm so sorry.
No. I mean, and considered. I hear you. The issue that I'm raising is that it appears to me that NGOs are most successful when they are very clear about the constituency that they serve. So, for example, you were very, very clear about the fact that, yes, while you're sympathetic to issues of the elderly, that's not your job. So that's part of the reason why perhaps that focus gives you the success that you want. But then that would mean that under certain circumstances where resources are going to be competed for between an organization that would perhaps represent the elderly, not represent, to take your, but that would be working to develop the issues of the elderly, if a situation arose where there were resources that had to be decided upon between yourselves and the organization that helps or develops the elderly, and you were the decision maker, it would mean that those resources would go for the causes for young people. And that would obviously create some sort of acrimony?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, you're definitely right that there are some issues that are considered sexier than others. And funding, you know, you're always going to get funding for things like you know, job creation, rightfully so, sure, right? But programs around maybe hunger might be a lot more attractive than a program around mental health, for example. And that's part of, you know, what makes things difficult. I don't know that it's acrimony, because I think we all know that we're competing from a very small pool of money, and sometimes you win and sometimes you don't. I don't know that the civic sector, as large as it is as interested in each other as we are in ourselves, probably. So I don't know about acrimony, but definitely, you know, there are lots of inequalities with how funding is administered, and not just on an issues point of view, but even just like I mentioned, you know, things like racism. So if you're an organization that is largely white, your chances of getting funding are much higher than if you're not.
And so, like AfriForum, for example.
Sure, right? And the kinds of issues that you would put forward. Because it also, who the people that are giving out funding and their interests also matter here, right? So if you're trying to get funding from an Israeli organization, for example, right, you just need to come up with a little bit of anti-Palestine rhetoric and you're going to get money. And so, you know, it works very much the way politics...
And would it be true for the other side of the coin if you are an organization that represents Palestinian aspirations that you would simply have to come up with a little bit of anti-Israeli rhetoric? Would that be the same?
I guess, except that's not the popular one, right? And I think my point is that there are certain narratives and there are certain issues that are far more popular than others. And so being able to play into specific kinds of interests. So since we're talking about AfriForum, since we're here, let's go. When AfriForum did their tour to the United States and they were peddling their stories about, you know, the apparent white genocide that's happening in South Africa, they got a lot of funding from lots of right-wing people there, right? And so it's about being able to, I think, play into different structures of power, play into different political ideas, and really understanding who the people are behind the money and what their interests may be. And that's why, you know, some issues might find a lot more expression than others. But I think, because I don't really want to get bogged down in a conversation about money, because I think YouGov is a really good example of how you don't actually always need a lot of money to be able to have impact, right? It's the reason why we focus a lot on the idea of partnership. Because what you tend to find, and I always say there are people who are really actually committed to doing the work of improving people's lives and people's livelihoods, and people who are just here because it's a job, right? And the people who are here for the work always find ways of finding each other. And that's a really important thing to be able to help your work become sustainable without being reliant on finance, because you get to build really great networks of support, really great partnership networks, and those actually also open a lot of doors into whether it's additional funding, whether it's additional resources. And so I think prioritizing things like partnership, collaboration, actually helps you far more than trying to chase big funding opportunities.
So the reason why I went that route in my questions, Pearl, was to get a sense of sort of what are the fundamental values of the Youth Lab in terms of the support and the services that they provide. So would it matter to you as the managing director of Youth Lab whether you provide your services for a pro-Israeli youth? In other words, a youth person who is known to have certain views, would you assist them?
Yeah, so Youth Lab as an organization obviously has its own set of values, and that dictates who we partner with. So, for example, you know, we wouldn't partner with an organization that is openly anti-abortion, right? So there are a set of values that we in the team hold, and, you know, it's constant conversations that we have to see where we may disagree. You know, we're not trying to create echo chambers or impose our views on others. But fundamentally, the kinds of values that we think about very seriously are values around how do you actually see young people, right? It's not so much about the nitty-gritties of what people can believe in, because I think, you know, we may run into some very dangerous and pointless arguments around that. But I think the way we work and the way we've always worked is to say, how do you actually value young people? If we say to you, we think young people are experts, and you don't take that seriously, you're not really someone we can align with, right? We look at the way we imagine how South Africa's problems can get fixed, the way we imagine young people's roles in fixing those issues, right? the way we imagine communities and how communities are made up, what support looks like, what partnership looks like. And those are kind of the values that I think we focus a lot more on. It's impossible, you know, if you go into a community and you have a group of 50 young people, it's very difficult to be able to assess each and every single person's views, right? And I don't think that's what aligning with people's values actually means, right? I don't think it's about, do we agree on individual issues, you know, one-to-one in that way. I think it's about how do we see why we're doing the work that we're doing. And if we align on those things, I think as long as you're not an organization that peddles a specific kind of rhetoric, we look at ways of collaborating.
So my question was more about the individual. So if Ernst Roots, for example, were to come to the Youth Lab as Ernst Roots, but we know what he says, what he stands for, would you help him?
I mean, I think he's old, so I wouldn't.
Well, you know, indulge me.
I mean, no, because also Ernst is not a random young person in a random community, right? If you're going to pick a polarizing figure, then you're going to get a polarizing answer. But it's not always that black and white, right? And that's the thing is our work is always community-based, is always youth-focused. And it doesn't mean looking at individual views. But like I said, if we're going to pick polarizing figures, then you're going to get a very polarizing answer. For the same reason, if you asked me if I would work with Beyonce, I would say absolutely yes.
I hear you, Pearl. So what sort of programs, if somebody is listening to this conversation and you have the opportunity to speak to people that have the resources to assist the Youth Lab, which programs do you think would be in sort of the with an earshot of somebody that is listening to this conversation that would align with your values, that would align with your operational programs? What are the programs that you would want us to know of and perhaps lend a hand in?
Cool. So I think existing programs, just to kind of list them, because I don't want to spend too much time talking about what exactly they do. Our mental health program is a really important one. We are always trying to expand and make the program better. And so any kind of resource support around that is, you know, really, really important for us. We also have a program called the Young Feminist Roundtable on Climate Change, which brings together young women who work in gender as well as climate change and kind of go on a collaborative, we create collaborative projects out of those. We have projects that work around citizen education. So there's a program called Public Achievement that trains young people on what different tools we have in our democracy, right? So learning about what ward councillors do, for example, and creating small community interventions that they then run by themselves.
Yeah.
And so that's a really cool program. But I think one of the things we've always done and we do well is we create really great programming. A lot of the time when people have wanted to support Youth Lab, and this goes for any, you know, any capacity, our question is always actually, what do you have to offer? What are you interested in? Right. So if you come to us and say, look, I'm really interested in providing support to young accounting graduates, we can have a conversation about what that means, what that looks like, and we can create programming around that. So we're not limited to the work that we currently do. We're constantly creating new programs for other organizations, private companies that want to run programs on their own. And so I think, yeah, if you want to be a part of the work we do in any way, we can have a conversation about what you have to offer and what it is that you're interested in so that we get value on both sides.
And what sort of assistance would you need for those kinds of programs?
The main thing for us would be money. I think, you know, going through the pandemic and still, you know, facing all of the challenges we've had whilst we've managed to, you know, retain all of our staff, everyone still got paid their salaries throughout the pandemic, is still financially strenuous. And ultimately, a lot of what we need to make our work afford is more money so we can bring in more people, so we can grow our reach. But I think also resources. We definitely undervalue people's own resources. So somebody coming and saying, you know, I have an existing existing program funding or an existing program structure in place, and we need to find ways to make it better or to collaborate. We're always up for that challenge. So I think outside of the financial, I think it would be collaboration. So if you have an organization or a company and you're interested in doing some work together, we're always ready to do that.
Pearl, and how do we get in touch with you if indeed we want to respond to that challenge?
So you can find us on social media. On Twitter is at YouthLabZA, which is the same as Facebook. You can pop up a message on there. And then it's radio doesn't really allow for this very well, but if you want to send out an email, you can send it to info@youthlab.org.za.
Pearl Pillay is a South African doing great things. It's been great talking to you. Thoroughly learnt a lot from you. And long may you continue your good work. And indeed, you make us proud to call ourselves South Africans. Thank you very much for joining us this evening, and congratulations.